It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Good evening to the FM Talk 106.5 listening audience. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr. I am your Chief Accountability Advocate for the evening, and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning in to our 12th episode, especially after my brother hosted last week and tried to pull his pinky and the brain episode. He described it as a hostile takeover, but the hostile takeover did not work. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. In studio, we have three fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is Ms. Aquilin Kennedy.
Hey, everyone.
Executive producer and chief brand strategist for Kennedy for Alabama. The second is Mrs. Jenny Aris, candidate for Mobile County Commission District 3. The third is Mr. Juan Torres, founder of the Belong Organization, who will be joining us in the bottom half of the hour. And finally, last, but in no wise least, Mr. Phil Bush, who is working the production board and has done a fantastic job of keeping Kennedy for Alabama sounding polished and professional on the airwaves. So, how's everybody doing tonight?
We are good.
Fantastic.
Yes, thank goodness we made it to the end of another week.
Woo!
It has been super, super busy. You know, earlier in the week, I was up in New Jersey for some client meetings, and I was driving down the Garden State Parkway during rush hour.
No.
And if you ever wanted anything to help reinforce how much we love our little piece of Southwest Alabama, just drive on the Garden State Parkway during rush hour.
That's right.
So with that, Auckland, tell me something good.
Something good is you made it back home. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah indeed.
First and foremost, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. God is good. Last thing, very, very special week for us. It is a wonderful week because it is our season finale.
Indeed.
Woo! Yes. So we are having a good time. We got donuts in the house. We are so excited. Not to be ending the season, but to wrap up a really great season of all kinds of conversations. Take a look at KennedyForAlabama.com. Look at the podcast. Listen in. Hear what we've been talking about. And so you can get ready to join us for season two. So that's what's good.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for that, Auckland. So in terms of the agenda, in the top half of the hour, we'll review a few news headlines and introduce tonight's discussion topic. After that, we'll do an in-depth candidate spotlight with Ms. Jenny Aris. In the bottom half of the hour, we'll do a quick citizen spotlight with Mr. Juan Torres and continue the conversation with our guests both in studio and on the phone until we run out of time at the top of the hour. So, in terms of the headlines, the first headline comes from AL.com. It reads, company refuses to print University of South Alabama diversity-themed magazine on religious grounds. It was written by Christopher Harris and published on 14 November 2019. What did the author say? Interstate Printing told the editor-in-chief of Due South Magazine Wednesday that the content of the magazine, which is about diversity and inclusion, did not align with the company's religious values. The second headline comes from Vox.com. It reads, four winners and three losers from the November Democratic debate. The article was written by Dylan Matthews, Emily Stewart, Nicole Nera, and others. It was published on the 21st of November, 2019. What did the author say? The winners were Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and Stacey Abrams. The losers were Joe Biden, healthcare, and asylum seekers. The final headline for tonight's show comes from AL.com. It reads, Alabama's first congressional district debate produces few sparks, focuses on issues. The article was written by John Sharp and published today. What did the author say? Few differences emerged on Thursday during the debate among five Republican candidates running to replace U.S. Representative Bradley Byrne in Alabama's first congressional district. Sponsored by FM Talk 106.5 and WKRG-TV, the GOP event represented the first official political debate of the 2020 campaign season. The winner of the GOP primary will face the Democratic nominee, of whom there are three, Dr. Kiani Gardner, Dr. J.T. Everhard, and Mr. Rick Collins, during the November 3rd, 2020 general election. So, a wide range of headlines, but that actually brings us to our discussion topic of the evening. What are you doing to have a positive impact on your community? So with that, I look at my friend Jenny. What are you doing?
That is an excellent question. Well, I hope I'm doing something. I hope I'm doing something good. I'm certainly trying. So my name is Jenny Aris, and I am an educator. I've been an educator for 14 years. I taught 10 years at the secondary level at the School of Math and Science. And now this is my fourth year at the University of South Alabama in the English department. And so I like to think that in the classroom I'm doing good and trying to connect with my students and establish meaningful relationships and getting them to think about the great big wide world.
Absolutely.
You're molding minds.
There we go.
And you're teaching people how to think critically.
Yes.
You know, evaluate
information.
What's your field of study?
English.
Well, the one thing that I love about the humanities, and we used to joke about this all the time at the Naval Academy, is that the humanities actually communicate the human condition.
Amen.
And the human condition is the one thing that always remains constant throughout time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. You nailed it.
Indeed.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes, it does remain constant. But
okay, this is a math major.
She's got to throw some stuff in there. I stayed away from the humanities.
No!
I was on the math and science side, and I tell you what, black and white, there's nothing wrong with that. Something clear.
Okay, so with this.
Clear. I need a line of delineation.
We're going to pause for just
a
second because we need to go to our first commercial break.
Think about everything.
We need to go to our first commercial break, so we will see you guys back on the other side. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who are listening before the break, you realize that our normally calm radio talk show divulged into what my wife and I affectionately refer to as battle hour.
It's like this.
Battle
That's
hour.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes. And so we were having a brief little exchange there about what we think the best type of undergraduate major is. So my goal is to not get divorced tonight, so we will not go down any further on that particular topic. But we'll shift back to our candidate spotlight here with Jenny. And Jenny, for those in the listening audience who may not be familiar with you, just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background.
Yeah. Okay. So I was born in Mexico City to a Mexican father and an American mother. She's actually from Mobile.
Okay.
And my dad actually worked for the embassy, so we were really fortunate enough to be able to travel and see some beautiful places in the world.
Oh, wow.
And then when we when I was in kindergarten, we moved back to Mobile, where my mom's family was and where she grew up. So I was here, I'm a proud product of K-12 public education.
Indeed.
In Mobile. Go Murphy. And
go Shaw.
And then I left Mobile for undergrad for a little while and then graduate school in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So go Heels.
Go Duke.
This is all kind
Duke.
Of battle hour.
Indeed.
And then found my way back to Mobile because it has a way of doing that, right?
It
brings you back. So came back home and I have been an educator here for the past 14 years.
Great.
So, yep.
Okay. Well, if anyone happens to be listening on the phone lines and they want to call in with any questions or comments on stuff we talked about so far, please do. We are at area code 251-343-0106. That's 343-0106. So normally when we get into our candidate spotlights, we cover background. We talk a little bit about what you're doing professionally right now. But really what we want to start to do to connect this to the discussion topic for this evening is just understand why, right? So what were you looking at in the landscape that inspired you or motivated you to want to put your name on the ballot?
Okay, that's an excellent question. So, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's just true on the most fundamental level is that I want to serve. Like, I've been a public servant for 14 years. I want to continue to serve. But now I just have this sort of, like, I feel called to kind of serve in a different capacity.
Okay.
Sort of extend the classroom into the community. But to me, it's just, it's about the people, and it's about strengthening community and empowering people, and so we can reach our potential, just like what I've tried to do with my students for the past 14 years.
Absolutely. And, so, you know, it's interesting. I often find myself going back to how we first connected. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard about you mm-hmm. before I actually met you, right? And then I saw you on stage at one of the local family separation rallies here. I guess that may have been exactly the same time that I met Juan for the first time, if memory serves me correctly. So I definitely look forward to talking about that a little bit more. But what about county commission and that particular role in particular motivated you as just your next step when it comes to service?
Okay, so that's an excellent question, too. You should do a radio show.
I know.
No, you really should. You should think about that.
I've been thinking about that.
So, honestly, I think there's just something about being on that local, like just on the hyper-local level, right?
Okay.
And about really just working that closely with your community where we can really begin to see and hear each other as neighbors, right? Not as members of a political party.
Right.
Or not – because to me, I met with someone recently that he was like, well, I just don't really get involved much in the political life. And I was like, no, it's not political life. It's our common life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's
Indeed.
Why – that. And so I feel like you can really tap into that on the local level. And so – I'm just super excited about connecting with people in the district and trying to, I mean, strengthen our community, right?
So yes, yeah. And I love that so much too. And I think probably one of the biggest lessons that I took from my time running for office, mm-hmm. particularly given the fact that I ran for federal office,
yes.
was I found myself absolutely fascinated by the fact that when we talk about the local issues, the issues that are unique to Mobile County.
Yes.
None of those are really partisan.
No.
You know,
not
and
at
so
all. They transgress partisanship. Totally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I'm going to go off on, I'm going to climb on my soapbox here just for a second. And
Please.
So I do understand, you know, as a Democrat, why we have a primarily a two-party system, mm-hmm. a multi-party system. And that's mm-hmm. absolutely fine. I'm very comfortable in my political party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about school board, when you start talking about judiciary races, and when you start talking about things like county commission, the fact that those are even partisan absolutely drives me bonkers.
Can we get an amen?
Right, because there's nothing about it that's partisan whatsoever.
Just, so. Yeah, that's it right there. It's mm-hmm. just that simple. Yeah.
So I do want to get your cut on one issue that mm-hmm. came up here relatively recently, and I want to be respectful because I do understand that we have to have some clear-cut lines of separation between your day job and what you're doing here politically.
Okay.
But there was actually some news that came out about a diversity magazine and a printer who was not willing to print that magazine.
Yes.
I found that personally shocking, well within the rights to make that decision, but personally shocking. So did you have any thoughts on that particular topic that you wanted to share?
I actually had a lot of thoughts. I feel like while we can maybe respect that they had – that the printing company had the right
mm-hmm.
to refuse those people's service,
right.
that doesn't mean that I have to respect the belief system,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do feel like on – regardless of whether or not we believe it's our moral conviction or our religious conviction and that we think we're doing the right thing, it doesn't change the fact that, in my opinion, it's just discriminating, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just
Absolutely.
Discrimination.
Absolutely.
And that is not okay. And as an employee of South Alabama, I also, to be honest – well, I'm just going to kind of put myself out here and take a big risk with this one. But I will say I was disappointed in the university's response, too, because I felt like they should have taken a little bit stronger of a stance against that discrimination.
Yeah, well, I am not an employee of the University of South mm-hmm. Alabama. And because this is our Kennedy for mm-hmm. Alabama radio show, I can pretty much say whatever I want.
You can.
Yeah, it's absolutely respect the printer's decision to print or not print.
Right.
I actually have no issues with that
yeah,
at all.
It's a right.
But as a University of South Alabama, I don't have to use them anymore.
Amen.
And
That's...
so I believe the University of South Alabama should simply cut them
totally
off.
Totally agree.
Right? Because if I have to make the decision where I'm going to spend my dollars, it's not going to be
right.
there.
And
well,
there's still opportunity for them to do that, right? I mean,
yes.
there's still time for them to make that decision.
And let's
so
hope.
I
hope
done.
That they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope
faith.
They make that decision.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like we have a call coming through. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, you are on the line with Kennedy for Alabama. Hello, you are on the line with Kennedy for Alabama. Who do we have?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Who do we have on the line?
All right. Hey, this is Brian Flynn-Mayor.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Brian.
Pretty well. How about yourself? Hey, Jenny.
Hey, can't complain. Can't complain at all. You have joined us, and so that is an absolutely wonderful thing. So before you let us know what you want to talk about, could you just take a moment to just introduce yourself to the listening audience so they know who they're talking to?
Sure. My name is Brian Flynn-Mayor. I've been a resident of Mobile for 25 years. Born in Venezuela, recently got my U.S. citizenship.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Felicidades.
Yay! Right. I'm also the executive director of Rainbow Mobile, which is a local nonprofit 501c3 organization that serves the LGBTQ community in Mobile and Baldwin County.
Okay. Well, thank you for that introduction. So what would you like to share with the listening audience tonight, Brian?
I would love to continue on with the conversation about the magazine.
Okay.
I'll be hearing your opinions on that. I totally agree with you in terms of how they have a right. It is printed content to print what they want, and they can object to whatever they want. I think they do have a constitutional right to it. But as a society, I do believe that we should reject. The magazine talks about the LGBTQ community, talks about diversity and inclusion. It is realistic. Like, we are here. We exist. We're part of the community. We are your doctors, your teachers, your everyone.
Neighbors.
Your neighbors, exactly. Mm-hmm. We are your family, your relatives, your children. And to say that our existence is against your beliefs.
Thank you.
You can believe that. You know, you can believe the world is flat. You can believe whatever you like. But we, as a city that wants to be united, as a humanity that needs to be united, we need to tell them, like, no, that is not acceptable. Yeah, it's legal, but we need to tell not only them, but also all of their clients as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, hey, this magazine has this point of view that is not going to propel us into the future. It's 2019.
Agreed.
Indeed. Well, Brian, thank you for sharing that thought. One of the things that I like about the nature of our growing professional relationship and personal relationship is everything that I've seen you do as it pertains to leading your organization, you've always done with an extreme professionalism and a lot of class. And I think that is one of the things that is causing you to represent the community at such a high level. And I just wanted to let you know that I am a fan, and I'm very appreciative of all the things that you are doing.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I second that. And Brian, I see you, I hear you, and I appreciate your existence very much in this community. You're doing amazing work. So keep doing what
you're
doing.
Can I do it for the third time? Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, many, many times in life, we found that law is not necessarily right.
Indeed.
Amen.
So let's just be really clear about, let's stop hiding behind laws and make sure that we know what's right, and we're going to answer for those things that we decided. So,
and let's not be complicit by normalizing discrimination either,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, we have to speak out against it loudly.
Every chance we get. Every chance
we get. Yeah.
So, Brian, there was one other thing that I wanted to touch on before you leave us. You and I had a conversation offline based upon a Facebook post that you had made. And I really appreciated you helping to educate me on the significance associated with November 20th. Would you like to tell the listening audience what that day was from a celebratory standpoint?
Yes, of course. So November 20th is a day for the transgender community. It's called the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Okay.
It's been observed for about 20 years now. It is a day for the community in order to mourn for the losses, for the deaths of those in the trans community that has been killed, thinking for who they are. So far in 2019, there's been at least over 3,000 people worldwide who's been killed just because they were transgender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
So it's, and that's even, those are just the numbers that we know of, because a lot
of
times
exactly,
they go unreported, or people are misgendered, or they're scared. So those are just the ones that we know of. It's pretty significant. The trans community is becoming more and more visible every day. More people are more confident coming out, especially with newer generations, younger generations. You'll find, like, older folks, like, at 65 years old, who have been trans their entire life, but mm-hmm. who just now feel comfortable doing it.
Indeed.
So my Facebook post was more about, so the Democratic Party has always been for minorities, like, not always, but nowadays, the impression that I'm getting from the Democratic Party is giving a voice to those marginalized communities, mm-hmm. the smaller ones.
Right.
And it's basically the party for the LGBT community as well. They're the only ones who are fighting for our rights to adopt, to work, and to simply exist. Really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, to me, as far as me, as I go, community leaders, we need to be informed of significant events in our community, of all the issues that happen to us. As an LGBT community leader, I have to be aware of what's going on in the Hispanic community, in the Asian, the Native
right,
American,
right. Mm-hmm.
Black community, in all kinds. And I feel as though the Democratic Party should take that lead as well, mm-hmm. and they need to be aware of, okay, maybe we shouldn't have a debate on a day of national mourning for the trans community. That way it doesn't coexist, but a lot of trans people already feel invisible. They feel like they're overlooked, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. inside the LGBT community. And so it was just kind of another hit towards them.
Okay.
Two of them have expressed that to me, and I totally empathize with them as well.
Yeah. Hey, Brian.
That we can work on.
Hey, Brian, I just wanted to insert here right quick because we're going to be up yeah. against a break in a second.
Sure.
Thank you for sharing yes. that. And similar to what I told you when you and I were talking offline, in order to do better, we have to know better. And so everything that you were talking about within the LGBTQ community, you know, I could talk about within the African-American community and the identification and need mm-hmm. to talk about Juneteenth. Which is one of the things yeah. that goes missing, right? And if those of us who have a D next to our name are going to say that we are in favor and supportive of people in marginalized communities, then we need to be supportive of people in marginalized communities. So
absolutely.
Thank you a lot for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep leading. And we'll look forward to continuing to cheer you.
Thank you, Brian.
Right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
so. So we are up against the bottom of the hour break. So we're going to take a 2 minutes off here, and then we will catch you guys back on the other side.
It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who were listening during the last segment, we actually had an opportunity to start the candidate spotlight with Jenny, and then Brian called in and shared some thoughts with us. And we really had a nice little group conversation about the issue at the University of South Alabama with the printer who refused to print their diversity magazine. And then we talked a little bit more with Brian about the Transgender Remembrance Day. And for those of you marking your calendars, that is on November 20th. So that actually had me thinking a little bit about one of the headlines, and the one that I wanted to focus on was the Democratic presidential debate, and they were talking about the winners and the losers, and one of the losers they identified as a category were asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. And if you kind of dug through the article a little bit, the reason why they said that was because Julian Castro did not make it onto the debate stage. And he was really the one presidential candidate who was talking about that issue just philosophically about whether or not crossing the border should be a criminal offense or whether or not it should be a civil offense.
Yes.
And I really think in light of what Brian was saying about marginalized communities, this just speaks to why it is so important to have diversity on the stage.
Yes.
Now, he may not win the nomination ultimately, mm-hmm. but at least if we as a Democratic Party are going to say that is an issue that we're focused on, mm-hmm. you would love to have that representation on the stage. So, Jenny, what do you think about that?
Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is just because we're not talking about it doesn't mean that the issue is not, that it's still not a crisis, right?
Oh,
I
yes.
mean, what's happening is one of the sort of greatest kind of injustices and sort of most inhumane things that our country has gone through in modern day history, the crisis at the border. And we've lost
oh my gosh, yes.
seven children have died in our name. Thousands of children they're now founding have been separated from their families.
Right.
I mean, it's cruel. And this it's just cruel. And again, something that should transgress partisanship. It's about our humanity.
Absolutely.
And to impose this kind of cruelty, especially on innocent families and their children, is just it's unconscionable. And so I just yes, we need to not stop talking about it. You know,
right.
these dreamers are still out here sort of awaiting their fate. I mean, there's children that are still desperately seeking to be reunited with their families. I mean, we can't underestimate the amount of trauma either that we've inflicted on these communities.
So there are actually two thoughts that pop mm-hmm. into my mind. So the first one was Aquilin and I attended the Republican debate for AL1.
Okay.
And there were five candidates, and three of the five candidates said exactly what you would expect the Republican Party to say if they were coming out of talking points in central
right.
casting, right? So there's
right.
nothing about that surprised us. But there are actually two candidates, and I'm not going to name the candidates because I don't want to, you know, completely demolish their campaign at
okay.
this point in the process, right? They'll be like, hey, Robert Kennedy said something
right.
positive about me, so I can't vote for that guy. But one of the candidates talked about the need for a good migrant worker program
yes.
that would allow Alabama farmers to get the resources
Absolutely.
That you need.
Mm-hmm.
And another candidate talked about the wall, not in terms of a sea to shining sea physical structure,
right.
but electronic sensors,
mm-hmm.
technology,
mm-hmm.
personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in some places a physical structure makes sense,
right.
but in a whole other places that it doesn't. And so that was a little refreshing. Like I mentioned, three of the five would have been straight out of central casting, but at least two of them were
okay,
thinking about it
good.
In another
That's
way.
That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now what's happening is it's actually it's getting worse because the current administration is trying to restrict the number of asylum claims and
oh,
not trying
absolutely,
to redirect
yes.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just – And again, you know, you hear all the time from
asylum's
people
legal.
Well, they should get in line or do it legally. And I'm
right.
like, y'all, they are doing it
Indeed.
Legally,
Indeed.
And they're still being turned away, right? Like
yep.
it's again, it's unconscionable, and we just need comprehensive and humane immigration reform, right?
Absolutely.
We need these worker visas, and we need to allow these sorts of, I mean, for families to enter to have a chance at the American dream, right? As cliche
mm-hmm.
as it sounds, I mean, they're
right.
not criminals; they're good, decent, hardworking people. We're sitting with one of them in the studio. So.
Absolutely.
And they're coming
yeah.
from everywhere.
And
I
they're coming.
I just talked to someone, Canada, just everywhere. And they definitely need reform and help
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Jenny, I want to ask you one last question
yes.
before we put you in the number two seat
yes.
as opposed to the number one seat. So if you're making your closing argument about why it is that the folks in the listening audience should consider voting for you for County Commission District 3, what would that be?
Okay, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll just give a little example. So
okay.
I was asked to meet with a pastor in Grand Bay. He reached out to me on social media on my campaign page, and he asked if I could come out to Grand Bay to his church to meet with him and his wife. And so we walked in. We were in the room where they worship, and I'm talking about within 2 minutes, it felt like we had known each other for years, right?
Yes.
Versus minutes. We instantly connected. We talked about our love of people, our heart for service. We talked about community building. We talked about veterans. We talked
mm-hmm.
about the opioid epidemic. We talked about educational innovation. We talked about job training. We
right.
talked about mental health. I mean, we had this like radical kind of vision for this community and this part of the district. And we were so excited. And at the end of it, they were both commenting on how, wow, we can really see you've got, you know, your heart is in it. And I said, if that's the one thing people say about me, it's that I'm running for the right reasons.
Yes.
I want to serve. And he also said, you know what? I just realized I never even asked you what your political party was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because it doesn't matter.
It does
because
not
matter.
Because
we have the same heart and the yes. same vision mm-hmm. and the same love of people.
Absolutely.
Period. And so if the pastor in Grand Bay can do it, y'all can do it too.
Indeed. Well, so. Jenny, thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
As I mentioned before, as a general rule, I'm not really big and enthusiastic about the concept of endorsements. As a matter of fact, I've only done one officially, and that was when I endorsed Senator Doug Jones the night that he defeated me in the Democratic primary.
Is he about
but
to endorse
I
me?
Want to say publicly that you have our full endorsement and support.
Oh, I love
you
y'all.
You are the
Thank you.
Only Democratic candidate that we will be endorsing during the primary. And so, Auckland and I, we really appreciate what you're doing. We love you, and we are going to support you, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you're able to compete going into the general election. So, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That means everything. Thank you.
So, we are actually, at this point, we're going to bring up Mr. Juan Torres and start a little bit of a citizen spotlight with him before we roll into the next break. So, we're just going to give him a few minutes here to get settled and up and close to the mic. So, Juan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Robert. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, thank you so much for agreeing to come out and spend a little bit of time with us.
Sure.
So before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of what we've been talking about this evening, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you grew up, where you went to school, where you went to church, if applicable?
My beginning starts in Mexico. I was born in Mexico.
Okay.
At the age of 14, I moved to a tourist town, Puerto Vallarta. Many people that
okay.
have traveled
yes.
there know where that is. There I worked, volunteered with a missionary priest from Iowa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that led into a English scholarship that took me to the north of Mexico, to the south of the U.S., where I learned English, and I also finished high school.
Okay.
And then from then I moved to Mobile for the university. I came to the University of South Alabama, graduated
okay.
from there.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And the rest is just living here.
I was like, the rest is history. So,
yeah.
so
we should
say
go Jags and go Mexico.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Well, at least we can all agree on
Mexico!
Supporting the Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
If nothing else. And
Absolutely.
The funny thing is people always ask me, it's like, well, are you, Alabama or Auburn? Like, at this point, I'm go Navy, right?
Okay.
So that just kind of keeps me out of the So
right.
Our discussion topic is what are you doing to have a positive impact on your community? So right. just tell us, what are you doing to kind of contribute to society at large?
Okay, well, first of all, I have a professional job that I have been graduated with a business degree from the
okay.
University of South Alabama. And that was an international business, which is not what I do. I worked for 15 years at a manufacturing facility
okay.
Over in Atmore, and that went for 15 years.
Okay.
Recently, I took a job here in Mobile at Brookley Field. I
mm-hmm.
worked for ProAmpac, which
okay.
is a manufacturer of paper bags. They made
okay.
the paper bags for Panera nationally, so it's a lot of bags made. And what do I do to impact the community?
At, mm-hmm.
I mean, my heart is with people. I mean, keep hearing this topic. And
yes.
When I was in college, I volunteered to help the homeless. And
okay.
and any time that I came across anybody in need, I would jump in and do what I could. Now, after I graduated and started working professionally, I became very much aware of the crises of others. And then when I looked
okay.
at my own community, I realized that my community needed a lot of help.
Oh, okay.
That's when I jumped in and started a nonprofit
okay.
Organization, Belong. And that has been an active organization for the last 5 years.
Okay.
We focus on immigrant children and their families. Which,
okay.
If you serve or help the children, there's no way you cannot look at the family as a whole.
Oh, absolutely.
So
let me just circle back just to make sure that I'm clear on all this. So your organization is named Belong.
That's correct.
And the focus of Belong is children in the immigrant community?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So I want to go back to when we first met. So I had alluded to this earlier. During the family separation issue that was happening under the orders of the former Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, You guys had this event out in Sims. So what kind of – what was the genesis of, the, of that? So what kind of made you decide that that was the way that you wanted to go?
Well, you know, I mean, this was basically a common knowledge to anyone in the country.
Okay.
And, you know, I myself involved as an immigrant myself.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that, you know, this is very basic, you know, human need, human at the most basic level.
Right.
If you tell somebody, you know, I don't have a job, you will understand. And nobody what language anyone may say that in, you as a man would understand what that is, right?
Right.
So when it comes to the family, I realized that there were so many rallies. There were so many people being active to show their support for immigrants. Then I realized that, you know, there's plenty of immigrants here. Maybe not as many as there are in other states. But
right.
If we had let that opportunity to show our support for them, you know, what would that say about us?
Right,
as
exactly.
A, you know, as a human being, as a citizen.
Right.
You know? So even if the families themselves wouldn't participate, which we had a few that did participate in our rally,
mm-hmm.
in our it was a prayer vigil, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
So I wanted to send a message to them that there's people in the community that care for them. And I was so happy to see you, have seen so many of you. And to me, I went to that event not expecting much.
Right.
But I came back so full of joy and happy that the same message I wanted to communicate to our community of immigrants, you know, resonated with so many other people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah, that they aren't alone.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's literally the same thing that Brian was saying before. Everybody who's here is here.
Yeah.
And we can have a philosophical conversation about how it is you got to this point and whether or not that's something that we want to continue going forward or we need to make some adjustments. But the fact that everyone's here and everyone's actually living their lives today is something that all of us, particularly those of us who claim to be Christians, should want to be aware of and actually actively participating in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So so we have about a minute left before we go to the next break. What else would you like to just share with the listening audience about your journey and the types of things that your organization is continuing to do?
Well, I know, you know, I have been in Mobile for more than 25 years.
Okay.
And I have moved around from jobs and environments where sometimes you get a sense that it's either all black or white.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And I feel like, well, if everything is black and white, where does that leave the immigrant?
Yes.
Okay. Well, with that, we are going to pause for just a second, and we're going to go to our next commercial break, and then we're going to pick back up this conversation coming out of the break. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And you are back to Kennedy for Alabama. So before we went to the break, we were having a conversation here with Juan Torres, and we were talking a little bit about how when we discuss issues from a Mobile perspective, we tend to talk only in terms of black and white, but we don't talk a lot about the immigrant community. We don't talk a lot about Asians. We don't talk a lot about the Hispanic ethnicity. And we're all here. We're all here, here together.
That's correct. That's correct. And from my personal experience, I would think that at any situation that I have been involved living for these 25 years in Mobile, I have to kind of jump myself into the middle of a conversation or, you know, kind of, you know, raise your hand. Hey, I'm right here. You know,
exactly.
And and also it's obviously geography and culture. Many times people do not have the means to experience other cultures.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily abroad, but going over to the West, other states,
mm-hmm.
and experience some of the diversity that this country offers.
Absolutely.
So I understand that, you know, but as well, you know, the initiative to jump in and be part of others relate to immigrants is not an easy thing, because people don't have that inclination to do so. But those that do understand and find out that, you know, what a rich addition they add to their to the way they socialize with others.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, it looks like we have a caller calling in. So you are on the line with Kennedy for Alabama. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Robert. It's Elizabeth Dunham.
Hey, Elizabeth Dunham. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I am good as well. Thank you so much for calling in. Could you just take a little bit and let the listening audience know just a little bit about you so they know who they're talking to?
Sure. I am living in Spanish Fork. Okay. I have lived here for 7 years. I'm from Pensacola originally. I've got 5 kids who have gone through the school system in Baldwin County. I am a writer. I do freelance commercial writing, and I'm the publisher of the Franchise Woman magazine.
Okay. Well, Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate you calling in. So you've heard the headlines that we did at the beginning of the show, as well as the conversation that has been going on so far. So what would you like to share with us?
Well, I think one of the common threads between the conversations with the publication at South Alabama, Brian, who's a friend of mine, and Juan, is what I use my platform for as a writer, is highlighting the importance of humanity.
Absolutely.
I have a gay son who went through a lot his senior year of high school. We had to stand up to the school system, which was not overly accepting. And through working with his individual school, things improved. For the county, not so much. And then my daughter's at Washington and Lee, and a lot of her friends are DACA students. And one common thing I see in all of the communities that are marginalized is that people don't view them as humans.
Right.
And they don't understand that when the previous presidential election happened, she called me, my daughter called me sobbing because all of her friends were afraid they were going to get deported. My favorite story to tell about why politics matters is when Doug Jones got elected, my son was 17 at that time and had come out the year before. And we were watching the news intently. We were at a band concert and had to come home and hadn't been able to follow it.
Right.
And I went to change clothes and I came out. My son was knocking on the door. Mom, they called it. They called it. And Doug Jones had been down. And my 17-year-old son said, you know, Doug Jones won. And he grabbed me and he hugged me for 5 minutes without letting go. Because for him, it meant Alabama had a line that even they wouldn't cross in terms of his humanity and his ability to live in this state.
And that he could be safe and free, and
What's that?
And that he could be safe and free.
Well, to a degree.
Yeah.
I don't know that he fully felt that way. But it sent a message to him, and that's why politics, some people say, why do you take it so personally? Well, because the Supreme Court decision that's going to come out in the next year affects whether my child will be able to work freely or not, who he is. So, and these DACA students, the need to hide or to be open about who they are, I think when people understand the human element and the feelings that these kids have of fear for their personal safety, and as a parent, the horror of that, of feeling like your child isn't safe, that's why all of this matters so much. And that's why Juan's work is so important and why Brian's work is so important and why, Jenny, your candidacy is so important.
You know, it's interesting because I had 3 thoughts that popped in my head as you were going through that, and I'll see whether or not I can get through each of the 3 of them. The first one was, in my last job in corporate, I was a general manager of an e-commerce organization that was global. So half of my team was U.S.-born. The other half of my team was non-U.S. born. And so each of the 4 people on my team that were non-U.S. born all had a sick parent where they had to leave the country. The ones who were from the Northern European countries had no thoughts, no concerns whatsoever. They just went home. They came back. The ones who were from countries in Southeast Asia or in Africa, those who were a Muslim, practiced that religion, they were always concerned about their ability to get back in the country. And this is a team that all worked together. In addition to that, I had some members of the LGBTQ community that were on my team as well. And when we would have philosophical conversations about things like being able to make healthcare decisions, you know, for your children, they were in an environment where that was embraced and considered to be normal. But whenever we would have the philosophical conversations about me being from Alabama and the struggle that folks had to go through in order to just have the right to make sure that they can make a medical decision for their child, it just really, really brings everything back into focus. And even if you wanted to tie it back to the words that came out of our foundational documents like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? When you talk about personal liberty and your ability to pursue happiness in a community and family of consenting adults, this is all stuff that really matters and ties to our Americanism. And that is an absolutely beautiful thing. So,
well, it does. And no child, whether it's an immigration issue or a sexual orientation or identity issue or anything else, should be fearful to live.
Oh, you know, not at all.
It's unacceptable.
Never. Not at all. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that thought with us. And please give our love to your son.
Yes.
We think he's awesome.
We
know he's doing great things there in college. So we look forward to connecting soon. Okay. So we're about to go into the last minute of the program right here. Juan, can you just take a second and talk about what your organization does with the buses that are coming through town each week?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that has happened basically for the last year, it's always happened, but the crisis kind of put a little emergency towards the number of people that have been released from the centers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We have come to the end of the hour. This is going to complete our 12th episode and our first season.
Yay!
So we're going to take a little bit of a break,
and
then we will be back right after the new year with the second season of Kennedy for Alabama. Thank
Happy
you guys
holidays.
So much.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
That's right.